Well, good evening, folks.
Evening.
It sure is good to be in the Lord's house.
Yes.
Good to be with the Lord's people.
Yes.
Nothing like being with God's people.
Yes.
Being in the church of the living God.
Yes.
Local New Testament church.
Amen.
God is so good.
Yes.
And it's good to see you. I hope we've got some help. And during these days, that's been my desire, that we would preach that God would have us preach. And that it would register with those that are in the pews. And there's been some warfare that's gone on, you know, when you're really dealing with issues. A lot of times you have a little warfare when you're trying to get ready to go. But the Lord knows what we need. And he's given me the orders, and I'm trying to put the mail in the box.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. I tell you, when you really get saved, God changed your life.
Amen.
Dr. James Stewart was a professional soccer player in Scotland. He would have been a professional soccer player. He was a young man. He had a praying mother. And she would get by his bedside every night and pray that God would save him from his sin. And he is on the soccer field. And he would have got a contract to play soccer there in Scotland and England. And God spoke to him. And he fell under conviction. You know, that's about a lost art anymore. But he fell under conviction. You know what conviction is? You might be a church member, but if you've never been convicted, you've never been saved. And so, Dr. Stewart, he got under conviction. And he is under such conviction that he said to God, if you'll let me finish this game, I'll get on my knees and I'll call on the Lord. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to save me. I'm going to tell you, when God gets hold of you, it works.
Amen.
He never played no more soccer. But he went out carrying the message for the Lord. What a privilege to preach to these young people. I'm telling you, it's wonderful that you meet Jesus while you're young. You get in on this thing. It's a serious matter that we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Now, I started out preaching on how did we get where we are. See, I go way back. You know, I was born right at the, actually the depression was not over. When I was born, and I've seen a lot of things come to pass. But in a lot of cases, young people, a lot of people play in church. But we do not need to play church. And they're trying to hold the world in one hand and hold Jesus in the other, and you cannot do that. How can two walk together, say they agree? So I started out, actually I preached a message in September to you folks that are here. Brother Clint, it's good to see you and your family and the folks at Mount Tabor. And Brother Eagle, he flies high. And so he drove me over tonight and he's going to drive me over tomorrow night, Lord willing. And we was flying so high we ran by the road down here. And didn't even turn in, and we almost got lost, and I called the preacher. And he didn't answer, and about time then we found our way. You know, there's an old song we used to sing back in the country, I found the way. So by the time we got a hold of the preacher, we'd found the way. And we was in the parking lot. But Brother Eagle's a good man, and I appreciate him so much. So I started on the Word of God. I thought about this today. This is the Word of God. This is God's holy word. And if, and you can strike that through, because I don't believe there's an if there. But if you don't wholly believe this is the word of God, you sure are wasting your time. This is the word of God. Some of it, you know, it's hard sometimes to digest. But the problem that swept this country is that men and women and young people across this land has turned their back on the God of the Bible and the precious word of God. So that's where we started. We dealt with the Word of God. Then, we talked yesterday morning on the Lord's Day. Praise God, Sunday's the Lord's Day. And you are not much if you're not in the house of God on the Lord's Day. My, my, how in the world could you lay out a church? As good as it is to go to church. Amen. Good it is to be in the house of God. Amen. Oh, my. And then last night, we dealt with the feminist movement. And we didn't really get into that too much. But we was trying to emphasize to the church the importance of your home. Amen. And the importance of the man in the home. Amen. And the importance of the lady in the home. Amen. And importance of us getting back to living like full of spirit filled Christians in our home.
Amen.
I'm going to deal with a subject tonight that every person in this building ought to hear. And we ought to hear it well. And it is a subject that has, you see, we started down the wrong road. And under the name of progress, we forgot what the day of the Lord is. And then the women folks left the home. And they wanted better homes and they wanted their children to have things that they did not have when they were growing up. And that was a bad mistake.
Amen.
Amen. Now don't go to sleep on me now before I get started. Okay? But that was a sad day. When our boys had come home sometime, my wife would have to be gone for something, and they just kind of didn't even notice me hardly being there. You know, the first thing they'd say, Brother Sexton, where's Mama? That's where Mama ought to be when the kids get home. Now, that's just warm up, okay? Y'all got me stirred up? That's bad. Sometimes that's bad. I might be long. I might be long. I'm preaching tonight on the move of legalized liquor that come to this country. When I was growing up, all I knew anything about was the bootleggers. And the government run after them and they found out there's missing tax money. And I don't believe God's going to bless tax money that comes from booze.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the most ungodly thing on earth.
Amen.
There's a lot of things I could preach, but they're probably not anything more needed.
Yeah.
Liquor has practically destroyed this country. We had probation. What do you mean probation? You could not sell liquor unless it was bootleg liquor. You couldn't get a license to sell liquor. But for greed and money, people will do anything.
Amen.
Greed and money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is a blessing if you use it right, but when it becomes greed, it's sin.
Amen.
Right. So I'm reading from Genesis 9. I said, I believe Sunday morning, you better pay attention. Young people, you're listening to me. You young fellows that think you might be called to preach one day, or it won't matter whether you're called to preach or not. The book of Genesis is the seed plot of the Bible. And the book of Genesis has got a lot of first mentions. Right? And when God mentions something, God don't change His mind. Is that right?
Amen.
It's pinned down. And God can back up everything He said if you got the right Bible.
Amen.
That's one of the places we really got in trouble you know what? If you don't want to walk with God and you don't want to do what you ought to do for God, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to change your way, or you're going to have to change Bibles. Amen? But when you change Bible, you left God. Oh, yeah. So let's read. I'm in verse 20. No, let me begin in verse 18. And the sons of Noah, this is after the flood now, Noah and his sons and their wives, eight people say. The sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem. Now Shem is the Hebrew. Ham and Ham. And Ham, God did not curse Ham, but I tell you what, God put a curse on what happened in Genesis 9. So He dealt with Canaanites that came from Hamites, this turned out to be nothing but trouble. Amen? And I tell you, God did some things that you better not ever get over. And the rest of us Gentiles, we descended from Japheth. He was the oldest. I think those things are important. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Don't forget that. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman. He is a farmer. He had grapes. And he planted a vineyard. And verse 21 said, and he drank of the wine. Fermented wine. It amazes me, of all the scriptures that's in the Bible against strong drink, liquor, wine, beer, whatever you want to call it, that God said it is wrong. For some jackleg preacher that has been to some school that thinks that he can go to John 2 and qualify wine as something that anybody ought to drink if they want to. I want to tell you, this that I'm preaching tonight stirs me up. And you young people in this building, you'd better listen to this old preacher tonight. And if you're sympathizing with alcohol in any way, you better listen. It's wicked. It follows wickedness. It's ungodly. And a drunkard, he dies a drunk. He goes to hell as a drunk. He'll face God as a drunk. And he'll go to the lake of fire as a drunk. Oh, he made a profession back there in Vacation Bible School. 60 years ago, I guess he's saved. He never has been to church much since, but his name's on the roll. I don't want to be mean-spirited, but I'm kind of stirred up about this. The Bible said, and he drank to the wine and was drunk. He got drunk. You know, some of these characters we read in the Bible, if God didn't tell us that they really had faith in God, we would not believe that they ever knew God. But it cost Noah. Sin will cost you. But we've watered about everything down. And what we say is, well, they made a mistake. That's not what God called it. God called it sin. So we're doing a little plowing. We're hoping that we can help somebody in these apostate days. So the Bible said that he was uncovered within his tent. At least he was in his tent drunk. And he's in his tent drunk, but he's in his tent naked. Now, you say whatever you like, but I challenge you to read that Bible, and I'm going to preach it tonight, but drunkenness and nakedness goes together. And drunkenness and nakedness is heathenism. It comes from heathen. It does not come from God and holiness. Amen. You young people fool around. Well, I need me a job. And I'm going to go over there. I know how this thing works. I've watched it. I'm going to go over there and get me a job as a waiter at a table. And, you know, over at this particular place, the tips are better than they are at Chick-fil-A. Amen. Yeah. And then they get over there, and when they get over there, they got this big bar, and they find out when people get about drunk that they tip a lot better. So they are young people, and when they get old enough, they go get the right to sell drinks by the liquor by the drink. You reckon why they would do that? I'm going to tell you why they do that. They are greedy for money. They want money. I'm going to try to get this text read. Watch it. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. I don't think Ham had character. And he told his brethren without. Now, I've seen men that's called to preach. And I appreciate what the sister said a while ago. But you know what? I've seen men that's called to preach, and they made most of their ministry off of how they was raised up and all the liquor and the rot gut they were in.
Yes,
and they dishonored their family and dishonored their father. You'll see the difference in the three characters here in a minute. When God brings you down to really put you to the test, you know what you're going to do, young women? You know what you're going to do, young men? You know what any of us does when that happens? There's a time that'll come in your life that you will make a decision and you will make a choice that'll mark you for the rest of your day. And it may be when you're with your friends and they say there's not anything wrong with just taking a little drink. And then you take the little drink and it makes you feel a little fuzzy. And they said, why don't you have another? And if there's a young man along, he may give you three or four, and the next thing you know, you've lost your purity. And you'll never, never be the same. I believe tonight that this message is ordered for God, from God, for some young folk, but not only young folks, all the rest of us. When I grew up as a boy in Georgia, we were farmers. You could not buy a beer for 30 miles. Because they didn't sell it in the whole county where we were. When we moved to Kingston, there was one little package store. I fought them from the pulpit to the street to City Hall.
Amen.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong. Now, preacher, you're pushing this a little bit too far. And I really don't think there's anything wrong with a person just taking a little drink along, especially at Christmas time. I want to correct you. A dram drinker is just as kin as much to a drunk as a pig is a sow. Amen. Praise God, brother. I'm telling you, you don't fool around with sin. It'll bite you.
Amen.
So, but he had two brothers. They had some character. And you know what? This has followed Ham's line ever since that day. You can like it or love it. You can like it and believe it, or you can disbelieve the Bible. Oh, a lot of people try to prop it all up, and a lot of them are preachers. Nothing to prop up about it. It's wicked. I got enough scripture I could preach till midnight. Against alcohol. Against wine. I used to wouldn't buy gasoline where they sold it. And I don't now when I can get it other places. Amen. I didn't buy groceries where they sold it. They got wine over at Kroger's. There, you know, at Midtown, at Harriman, right outside of Kingston. And they put it in the back. And they kept it in the back. From a time that they approved that they could have it under about a month or two ago. And now that's the first thing you run into when you go in the door. Now, I get a little bit mean about this, but you know what I'd like to do? I wish I could get everybody out of there and have me about 10
sticks of dynamite.
I wouldn't blow it to heaven, but I tell you, I'd blow it somewhere, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm telling you, I got a little spunk when it comes to people trying to ram that in your face.
Amen.
And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both of their shoulders. Do you think nakedness? You ladies and you men, you ought to get this lesson right here, that nakedness is not approved of God. Amen. Well, I don't think it's too bad. Well, you're not reading the Bible. You don't believe it. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders. What did they do? They put their back to their father. And they went backward. They had a garment. They had a sheet of some sort. They had something that would cover their father. They had enough character about him. See, Ham went and told his two brothers. He wanted to straw the matter. He wanted everybody to know. You see somebody's going wrong and you're a real Christian, you ought not to be to where you got to call and tell everybody about it. If we as is ready to evangelize the country and evangelize the world, we ought to tell all this gossip we know about. And we get the gospel around the world before you'd hardly know it. Did you hear this? And if you can't get a hold of them, you'll email it. Oh my. Boy, the devil, he's having his day in some areas, but we're the church of the living God. We're still on this earth. And I want to tell you, the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Boy, I like that song they're singing. Boy, that music, good one. Stirred me up. Well, one of my old deacon in 90-something, he used to get up there and sing that old song they sung about the third one. I liked it. Got out of the pew. I'm his and he's mine. And praise God. I'm his forever and forever. Oh. Nakedness. Watch what they did. They went backward. Covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward. They didn't see him. They didn't look on it. And they saw not the father's nakedness. I'm going to say something as a question. I wonder if Ham might have committed the first case of sodomy. I tell you, we ought to be careful. Yeah. We'll be careful in our homes, men. Yeah. We'll be careful in our homes around our sons. And a man that strips off and shows his neck in front of his daughter, he's foolish. And he may be just as foolish to do it in front of his sons in the light of what's going on in our society. This thing's serious. The farther I get down the road, and I was thinking about this today, I ought to pray more about, Lord, help me to finish right. Noah didn't finish right But he was a man of faith. And I'm sure when he first started drinking that wine that was fermented, he probably didn't intend to get drunk. But he got in such a stupor that he passed out. Liquor, according to the state and according to the federal government, is legalized. But according to God, it's abomination.
Yes.
It's abomination. They said, well, preacher, you just don't understand, but alcohol, liquor, wine, you know, it's a stimulant. That's what they want you to think. But I want to tell you what it is. It's a narcotic. When you let your boy, your daughter, hang around that mess, you're introducing them to narcotics. That's the reason we're having young people to die in every county in the state and all over America with all of these drugs. They started with their wine, their beer, and a little drink of liquor, and it's leading them to hell and the grave. This is what's one of the things that's got us where we are. But the first started was that book being rejected. If the preacher in this church preaches something and you don't seem to think it's exactly right, I tell you what you do. You put it up on the side of your plate like you would the bones out of a fish. And you hang around there a while and you see if the preacher's wrong. Keep your mouth shut. Amen? I'm like Job's mule. I'm appalling tonight. Oh, Lord. My, and Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Didn't curse Sam, Ham, but he cursed. He said, cursed be Canaan. Them Canaanites. In the land of Canaan had to be ever one go out. Goes on to say, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren, unto Shem and Japheth. Or Shem, through Shem we got the Savior. Japhez, I would say most people that came to America when the pilgrims came, America's a melting pot now. But the people that come to America when the pilgrims came, and they did for many years from England and all those places, they were from the older son. Japhez. I've been studying this Bible over 61 years. And Pastor, I know less about it now than I did when the first time I preached. You know why? There's nuggets of gold in this book. Well, preacher, when are you going to arrive? I don't know, but it'll be a long way down the journey in eternity, and I don't think we'll ever arrive.
Amen.
I hear people all the time. I got something that really stuck with me. I hear them talk about they just can't understand how God loves them. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But you know what Ephesians said? is that it passes all knowledge. You can't get your arms around that. You can't get your mind around that. It surpasses everything that you could ever think of. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And God did what? He blessed. And I'm verse 26, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Everybody's going to be blessed through Shem. Because Shem's, he's the descendant that's going to give us the Savior. He went on to say, and Canaan shall be his servant. There's some people that they're going to be servants. They may get saved. They can get saved. But if they have the lineage of Ham, God put a curse on Canaan, the son of Ham. That's what the Bible says. You better watch that liquor. You better watch that beer. You know, the devil's always fought purity, and he's always fought teaching that we ought to be modest. I had a cousin. She was a beautiful girl. We went to that country church, and the preacher got up one Sunday morning, and he preached a message on modest dress. You mamas and daddies better keep your mouth shut when the man of God preaches on living clean.
Amen.
He preached on modest dress. Preached against. Why, in those days, we was too much of a man to wear shorts. So nobody wore shorts. I'm talking about them knee knockers or any of the rest of them. So he was preaching against women wearing shorts and showing their legs. Well, I tell you, you have to go to church now, and a lot of places you have to turn your head because there's too much showing up here and too much showing down here. And I'm telling you, that is wrong!
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
And so he preached that. My cousin, the daddy of that girl, he collared that preacher before. By the time he got out the door, he had him on the... I saw him. I was just a boy. I don't even know it. I was a teenager, girls. Well, they don't have to look. You put yourself out there, you are responsible. And I tell you something, boys, you can look because you don't know it's there. When you look the first time and you see it's there, you better get your eyes off of it quick.
Amen.
Oh, you just don't understand, preacher. I can handle that. Yeah, about as good as David did.
Amen.
No man can handle that. If he's a man. I want to tell you something about sodomites. God created man in his own image. Right? He took the rib out of man and made woman. And he distinguished the difference. And when you become a Lisbon, or you become a sodomite, or any of our family members become Lisbons or sodomites, they just as well took both hands and slapped God in the face.
Amen.
You better teach them little girls to be girls and play with the dolls. Teach them to be mamas. Teach them boys to be men.
Amen.
Teach them boys to prepare yourself to make a living for your family. The man that won't work, he'll not eat. I got no respect for a man that won't work. People fuss at me. When are you going to quit? I'm not really sure. But I tell you what my plans is when I get to glory. That's when I'm going to quit. I had the great Dr. Sadler. I thought he was one of the greatest preachers of our day. I got to have him at Calvary a number of times. And I had him at Calvary, and it was in one of those meetings, and a lot of people was there, and the house was full. Dr. Sadler, he's standing up and preaching, and all of a sudden he says something. I never heard it before. And I thought, oh no, did he say that? You know what he said? He said, I've been preaching all of these years, and I have watched it. And I have never got a man converted to Jesus Christ that will not work. I was probably 40 then. I've been watching that ever since. And I haven't found one of them myself. A man that'll marry a girl. And she'll have two or three babies by him. And he'll run off and leave her and not support those children and support that girl. He's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. And we might ought to still tie and feather them and run them out of town. Amen. I hope I'm not being mean. I'm just preaching. But I'm not apologizing. Unless I preach something not right, the pastor comes and says, now, Brother Bearden, that was not right. And he showed me from the Bible, I'll get up and make my acknowledgement. I'm going to tell you something. Alcohol is a life of low living. When a person drinks alcohol, they disgrace themselves, they disgrace their family. And they disgrace God, the Bible. God's Bible. God's Word. That's what Noah did. He disgraced. Didn't he? What about Lot? Genesis 19. We're still in the seed plot. I know of a missionary. And I don't think the missionary society did right. Somebody was talking to him and he said, and he's over a mission board. He may not be a big mission board, but he's over a mission. I tell you right now, you better be careful. And he told somebody, he said, at Christmas or the 4th of July, maybe, what? And he said, I said, I drank some beer. Said, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Said, I read the Bible, and I can't find where it's wrong. He had not read the same Bible I've been reading for 61 years. Because they brought him before the mission board, and they said, he said, I'll just resign, and y'all just tell everybody that I resign. And they agreed that they'd send a letter out and tell why, but they didn't do it.
I think they're partakers of his sin. There's some good missionaries. I mean, really good ones. I don't mean that. I'm kind of hesitant, Brother Sexton, to even tell that. Lest it dampen the spirit of mission. Right? But sometimes I think people need to know that there's a lot of false prophets out here. Oh, me. Narcotic. It's ruined our young people. God bless you, young people, if you haven't gotten what you're doing here to try to keep the youth going in the right direction. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I don't know how much longer I'm going to preach. But I'm just going to preach till I get through. I'm going to give you some of the Word of God. You can turn there if you want to. I can't give you everything I want to give you. But I want to go back to Lot. I couldn't have believed that Lot would say, if I had not read the New Testament, could you? He pitched his tent. You don't pitch your tent one way or the other. Even if you're saved, you're going to pitch your tent one way or the other. And if you are a worldling and you want to live worldly, you're going to pitch your tent the same direction that Lot pitched his tent. You will go to the well-watered place where you can wear the best clothes, drive the best car, have the best job, and you may have that and still stay in the Bible, preaching, God-fearing church. But when you take off after materialism, money, fortune, in faith and pitch your tent towards Sodom, I am telling you, you are going to end up maybe like Lot. They fled, him and his daughters, and his wife turned around, became a pillar of salt. And them girls, but they carried the liquor with them. Or they carried some grapes where they could make them some to drink. I guess they could have needed some, they thought. You can't drown sin with your liquor. Amen? These people in this building tonight have been raised in hell because of that rot gut. I've seen a few of them old fellas. And they'd take a drink of that out of a jug. And I'd go on up to the boy. And he'd make off his face I ever seen. How was that? Oh, that's really good liquor. I thought, stupid. I know better than that, and I'm just a boy. It must have been worse than castor oil. I'm telling you, those things are really something, isn't it? God help us. I'm not trying to be comical. You know, I'm really not. It's too serious. It's so serious. But sometimes you have to get your breath. This heavy. Proverbs 20:1 said, wine is a mocker. You know what you do? You mock yourself. Mock God. Mock the church. Mock the Bible. You're a mocker. Wine is a mocker. Proverbs 20:1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. It'll cause you to shoot somebody, get in fights.
Races. You ever seen a mean drunk? Sometimes a fellow can be just as calm. He can get 3 or 4 beers and be mean as a snake. Some want to laugh. Some want to cry. But none of them are in control. That's why God in Ephesians 5:8 said in the verse before, you need to be wise. Be not drunk with wine. Wherein is it said? Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God needs to control you, not wine.
Amen.
And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you drink alcohol, you're not wise. God said. 23:19 Proverbs. Hear thou, my son. Boys, listen. Daughters, listen. And be wise. And guide thine heart in the way. What way is he talking about? The ways of God. The ways of wisdom. The ways of the Bible. Don't let strong drink steal your heart.
Amen.
Young people, stay out of the dark. Keep yourself pure. I know it's not popular, but it's right. And it's the only way to finish right.
Amen.
You want to finish right, boys. You want to finish right, girls. One girl. I hear this all the time. Well, there's just not many out there. You know what I tell them? You don't need many, you just need one. Well, preacher, you know there's just not many girls out there. You don't need many, you just need one.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 19, Proverbs 23, verse 20 said, be not among the wine bitterers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Roundness shall close the man in rags. Drunkenness shall close the man in rags.
Amen.
I know a man now. I went to see him about 2 months ago. Folks told me he was about ready. They thought maybe to come to know God. And I've known him all of his life. I went to see him. I knew he was lost. I went to see him. And I remember when he was a millionaire several times, probably. Owned all kinds of properties. He's a builder. He told me that day I got on liquor when I was 40. Didn't drink any until I was 40 years of age. Told me that day. And he sat there and cried. He lost his millions because he took up with some crooked women. Liquor and immoral practices and crooked women go together. When you take Lot, had them grandchildren, and he was the father of them. I heard old Brother Ibalu years ago preach. I won't ever forget that. It gave me the shivers. You know what Brother Ed said? He said, could you imagine them little grandchildren walking around and say, Papa? Papa? But he was not only Papa, he was Daddy. Well, that, nobody in America lived like that. We was in the children's home business. For a number of years, you just don't know. We had a girl and we couldn't do anything with her. She was a teenager. We didn't know what was wrong. And some of the workers and myself, we got to praying with her. And you know what we found out? And the girl got saved after that from her sin. We found out that her grandfather was her daddy. That's in America. Liquor is just flowing in this country. I knew a lawyer in Georgia. If you got in trouble, if anybody could get you out, he could. But he had a weakness. He was a lost man, no doubt. And when he'd get away from his law practice, he'd drink liquor and run with women. And I was young in those days. I was a young preacher, and I was watching all this. He's coming out of Rome, Georgia, up 53 Highway. One night about 1 o'clock, he's been down there and got too drunk. Lost control of his car. And was killed. I knew the best surgeon I ever knew in my lifetime. But he got on liquor. It was such a turmoil at home, his wife committed suicide. And he drank himself to death. I don't care if you are in the big universities of Tennessee or some of the smaller colleges. Most people now in those universities believe there's nothing wrong with sodomites. They will ruin your mind and they'll destroy you. They stole our educational system. And we're headed in. I don't know how close we are. I got 18 verses. And I don't know how many of them I preach, but I think I preached enough. If you won't take what I preached and you don't get a hold of that, you're probably not going to get a hold of it if I preach another hour. Don't you think? I could tell you things about liquor. What it did to families. And in our county, and I'm sure it's probably this way around here, there's a dentist out from there in Keeson. And he and his wife are good people. And they work. And his wife especially, she works at getting food for children where she can put it in the bags, backpacks, and send it home with them on Friday because their parents are on alcohol and on drugs. We are ruined in America if God don't give revival. And they say a lot of times the parents will take the food, eat it themselves, or trade it for drugs. That's what sin will do for you. Alcohol abuse costs you and me and this country $200 billion on the average every year. Could be spent on feeding the hungry. Could be spent on the good military. It's an average of $800 each that you pay every year for a bunch of foolishness.
Yes.
Amen. A bunch of sin. 50,000 plus people are killed every year on our highways because of one thing. Alcohol. 50,000. We are murderers, dope addicts, drunks, liars across this country. And most folks, you don't believe that, but most folks don't think anything wrong with it. They think we're doing good. They got money in their pocket. They're going to make America great again. And I'm for America, and I'm glad they're trying to keep those folks out down there. I don't believe they ought to come in. Millions of hours lost. person told me, we got plenty of work for people to do. They have to do two things. Well, three things. They've got to have a driver's license. They've got to pass a drug test or a liquor test. Remember, liquor is a narcotic, boys. Girls, with liquor is a narcotic. And if they'll show up on time, we'll hire them. She said, we can't hardly hire nobody. Yeah. You know, statistics never did impress me too much. But maybe just a few might help you a little. Know how bad it is. They tell me there's three parties in Washington. Republican Party, Democrat Party, and the Cocktail Party. Forty cocktail parties a day. That's who's running the country. For the most part. Thank God Mr. Trump don't drink. I'm glad he don't drink. Aren't you? Pastor, this has been a sobering meeting. I really prayed about this. I really want to preach on revival. But the best I know, I've obeyed God. Truth tonight. I think I'm going to put this in print. I've been encouraged where I preached it. And I never have preached it all, nowhere. I preached more of it here. I asked the pastor here, I said, what do you think about it? Do you think people will read it? He said, I don't know whether they will or not, but they ought to. They ought to. They ought to read it. And I wish you would print it. Because you folks are here tonight can make a difference. I hope I'm not preached you down. I'm just telling you, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. I believe this church is making a difference. I believe you young people are making a difference. I believe you can make a bigger difference. It's yet to be seen. What one young man will follow God, what he can accomplish. Good night. We're standing. Some of you young folks may want to come and you may want to get on this altar. You may have not ever tasted a drop of liquor. But you may want to come tonight and get on your knees and say, oh God, keep me from this way. Keep me pure. Keep me clean. Keep me away from ungodliness and wickedness. You may be an adult and you want to come. But this is sobering, folks. Our children, our grandchildren across this country, our sons and daughters are going to hell. They are going to hell, and we're too proud to weep, and we're too proud to get on our face a lot of times. I'm not saying everybody is. I want to be careful, but a lot of people are. And we just got a cold heart. We need to draw nigh to God. I appreciate the great testimonies. You young people want to make a commitment tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be on this altar, young men, young ladies. And you ought to settle it once and for all. I'm going with God. I'm going the way Abraham went. I'm not going Lot's way. I'm not going Noah's way. I'm not going Ham's way. I'm going God's way.